Okay, so I'm just going to read Revelation and chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 says, "Now a great sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labour and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time.' Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times and half a time, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God." Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that this is your word. This is the living word of Almighty God. And Lord God, we realize that every word of this Bible is true, because it proceeds from the mouth of a God who cannot lie. And Father, I thank you that even as we've been considering already in this meeting, in the songs that we've sung and in the testimonies that have been given, you're a God who delights to save. You are a God who saves the sinner. You are one, Lord God, who provided, even before the foundation of the world, a way so that man could be saved. And Father, we pray that even as we consider your word now, that Lord God, you would come by your Holy Spirit and you would help us. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move upon the written word, and that, Lord God, you would show us the things that we need to hear this night, we pray, in Jesus' name. I just feel on my heart tonight change some of the things that I'd prepared to say tonight, and we've been doing a series on prophecy, and I just feel on my heart just to move away from that tonight and just to think about the simplicity of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've just been reading in that passage that I was going to preach on tonight, we've just been reading that there is somebody called the devil. The world thinks that that is a joke. The world thinks there's no such a thing as a devil. But the Bible tells us quite plainly and quite clearly that there is. There is a person, there is a being, and he's called Satan. And in this passage, it describes him. Well, in fact, the Bible has a number of names for this one. And one that's used in chapter 12 of Revelation, it calls him the accuser of the brethren. What is that all about? Well, one of the things the devil does is this. He's actually got the audacity to stand in the presence of a holy God and accuse people of sin. And you know something? When he accuses people of sin, he's not altogether wrong. Because the Bible says this. The Bible says that every single one of us have sinned. Every one of us. It's true. It doesn't matter how privileged we were at birth, whether we were brought up to go to church or all the rest of it. The Bible says we're born with a sinful nature. Every single one of us sin. We sin because we have a sinful nature. And the problem that every single individual in this world faces is this. What are we going to do about our sin? Because you see, God, who is our judge, the one who created us, the one who also will stand as our judge, he's holy. He's absolutely perfect. He's absolutely pure, and he's without sin. And God has declared that no sinner can ever enter his presence and remain with him for all eternity. We cannot, because our sins, the Bible says, separate us from God. And that's true of all of us. And some people think, all right then, all we've got to do is do our best. Live good, live a good life. Do as many good deeds as you can. Go to church as often as you can. Help old ladies across the road. Give money to charity. Do as much as you can. Do as many good deeds as you can. And surely, God, if he's got anything about him at all, surely he's going to accept our efforts and let us into heaven one day. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says God can't do that. Because you see, that would be unjust. How so? Because we've all sinned. And no matter how many good deeds we do, none of them do anything to cover the sin we've already committed. Take this illustration. Imagine that man, Harold Shipman, who a couple of years ago was convicted for murdering 15 of his patients. And in all probability, he probably murdered a couple of hundred. But he was found guilty. He was convicted of his crimes and he was sent to jail. Well, imagine in his defence he said, yeah, but I've done a lot of good deeds too. I've got a whole catalogue of good things that I've done. Surely that makes up for the crimes that I've committed. Well, if the judge had said on that occasion, okay, all right then, we'll let you go because you've done a lot of good deeds too, would that have been just? No way would that have been just. Why not? Because he still murdered 15 victims at least. And you know, it's the same with us. God is absolutely righteous and just. And if we've sinned, God says there's a penalty for that sin. There's a price to be paid. And God's told us what the price is. The price is death. And I don't just mean, you know, what happens at the end of 60, 70, 80 years of living on this earth. By death, the Bible refers to eternal separation from God. Being shut out of the presence of God forever. Hell. The lake of fire. The Bible calls it. And it doesn't make any difference what sort of sin you do. Sin is sin, as far as God's concerned. Might be telling a lie. It might be coveting some, you know, being jealous of something somebody else has got. Might be adultery. Might be theft. Might be murder. Could be any one of those things. Just keeping God out of your life. Sin. And the wages of sin is death. First thing we've got to ask ourselves, folks, is have we sinned? And if there's any doubt in our minds, all we've got to do is look at God's law. The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord your God. Jesus summed it up like this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. So if we could say we've done that all of our life since being a baby, without fail, love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and love our neighbour as ourselves, then we've not sinned. But the truth is, none of us can say that, can we? Therefore, we're sinners, and we're guilty before God. And there's nothing we can do to make up for our sin, no matter how many good deeds we can do. Well, what are we going to do then? Because God has declared, he said quite categorically, and he doesn't lie, that one day we're going to stand before him in the judgment, this holy, righteous God. Furthermore, the Bible says he knows us through and through. He knows even the very thoughts and intents of our heart. He doesn't just know what we've done, he knows why we did it. He's got a record of the whole lot. So what are we going to do? Well, the simple truth is, folks, there's nothing we can do. There is nothing we could do to get rid of our sin. But what we couldn't do, God did for us. God did something so that we sinners could be set free from our sin, so that we could have all of our sins forgiven, every one of them. And not only that, he provided a way so that we could actually be counted as righteous in his sight. Well, that's tremendous. That's fantastic. Tell me more. How did he do that? Well, it tells us in this passage, actually, that I've just read in Revelation. It tells us he sent his son into this world. His one and only son. Our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ came into this world. He was born of a virgin. His father was God. And he was born without a sinful nature. The difference between Christ and us, humanly speaking, he had no sinful nature. And the Bible says the devil, he tried and tested and tempted him on all points the same as you get tried and tested. But with this one difference in Christ, he never sinned. He remained absolutely pure and sinless and holy. Well, what's all that got to do with God making a way so we could be forgiven? It's got everything to do with it. Because this is what Jesus did. After proving himself to be sinless and holy, he went willingly, voluntarily to the cross of Calvary. And there on that cross, he died for you. And he died for me. And do you know what the Bible says? When he hung on that cross, he bore our sin in his own body. That Holy One, the spotless Lamb of God, he bore your sin in his own body. And he shed his blood in death for your sin. God said, the wages of sin is death. And Jesus died for you. Jesus said this, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. I want to tell you, God's love for you is immense. How big is God's love for you? So big that he sent his son to die your death for you. Jesus didn't deserve to die. One of the criminals who hung next to him, dying on the next cross, said this, he's done nothing. This man is innocent. He's pure. He's holy. But Jesus there, he died for your sin. He paid the price for your sin. The wages of sin is death, but that verse in Romans 6 verse 23 says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. What's that all about? God has made a promise to you and to me, in fact to any man, that if we have faith in Jesus Christ, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him, we'll be saved. He's prepared to forgive all of our sin. You say, yeah, but you don't know what sins I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. My friend, I don't have to. I don't have to. Because the Bible says this, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. There was a man called Paul. And basically, he persecuted the church. He hunted down the church. He hunted down Christians to death because he hated them. God saved him. He later on, he called himself the chief of sinners. You know, friend, it doesn't matter what colour your sin has. It doesn't matter what shape or form it's taken. Jesus died to pay the price for your sin. Well, somebody might say, yeah, but what use is that? If he died, he's dead. What use is a dead saviour to me? Oh, but the good news is he isn't dead. He died for our sin, but 3 days later he rose again from the dead. He was seen by many credible witnesses alive. And then he ascended into the glory, and the Bible said he's seated now on the throne of God. Seated on the throne of God's majesty. And you know something? The Bible says he's able to save to the uttermost all who come to God through him. All who come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Somebody once said to that Apostle Paul I've just been talking about, somebody once said, what must I do to be saved? Paul said this, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe what? Believe that he existed? Believe that once a man called Jesus lived? Well, you've got to believe that much, but that's not enough to save you. You've got to believe that when he died, he paid the price for your sin. You put your trust entirely in him. And the simple promise of God is this. If you come to God, faith in Jesus Christ, trust in him. Say, God, save me a sinner. I believe your son died for me on the cross. You will be saved. You'll be saved. And on that day, when you stand before God in the judgment, you'll not be condemned. Because God will look at you and he'll say, that one, my son shed his blood for, that one is covered by the precious blood of my son. It says here, they overcame him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You see, the devil's the accuser. He stands before God and he says, he sinned. He's worthy of death according to your word. But in 1 John, in the New Testament, it says this about Jesus Christ. It says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate, that is, one who speaks in our defense with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the sacrifice for our sins. Oh, the devil accuses you. But the one who has faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus steps up, as it were, before God the Father, and he says, yeah, but I shed my blood for that one. How do you overcome the devil? Believers I'm talking to now. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony that says, I put my trust in him. He died for me. I wonder tonight where your faith is. I wonder, do you recognize tonight, do you realize you're a sinner before a holy God? A sinner, condemned, unclean, as the old hymn says. Oh, but do you know tonight that Jesus the Saviour died for you? That's my simple message to you tonight. It says in Romans 5 verse 8, God demonstrates his own love towards us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you put your trust in Jesus tonight? There is no other Saviour. I read that from Isaiah earlier on in the meeting. God says, he alone is the Saviour. There is no other. There's no Saviour in any other religion. There's only one Saviour, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one through whom we can be saved. That is Christ alone. I want to urge you tonight, put your trust in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. We're just going to close our meeting with prayer now, and then there'll be a drink and some refreshments afterwards. Just want to encourage you to stay and share some fellowship with us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your son who came and shed his blood for us on the cross of Calvary. We thank you that, Lord God, he died there for our sins. He rose again 3 days later. And now, Lord God, he's enthroned on your throne. And he's able to save to the uttermost all who come to God through him. Father, I pray that, Lord God, for each of us in this room tonight, we would just put our trust in the Lord Jesus. That we'd realize, Father, there's no good work we can do that can earn our salvation. No matter how many times we went to church or did anything else, we could never earn our way to heaven. But you've done for us what we could not do ourselves through sending your own son to pay the price for us. Father, cause us to put our trust in him. I ask these things in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And I just want to, just while every head's bowed, I just want to give opportunity tonight, if there's anybody in this room who perhaps you've heard the gospel for the first time and you realize that you need Christ as your Savior. I'm not saying that
putting your hand up isn't going to save you, but it'll just indicate to me that God's speaking to you, so that I can pray for you, so that I can perhaps come to you and share with you after. If that's you tonight, put your hand up. Thank you. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? Well, let's just finish then in prayer, and I'll just come and speak to you. Father, I just thank you for this one, Lord God, who's heard your word tonight. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord God, you would see as he just cries out in his own heart to you, that, Lord God, you would just receive and help him to understand what you've done for him through Jesus your Son. And Father God, just bless us now in our after fellowship as we share together in a drink and just some refreshments. Lord, would you just be with us and bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.